If you're a strong, independent woman who doesn't need a guy, how can you find a guy that wants to give to you because you won't receive it? Are you prepared to drop the strong, independent woman thing so enough that he can actually give to you and that you will receive with grace?
You're listening to Stand Out, Get Noticed, the show that helps you communicate with confidence so you can stand out from the crowd and get noticed by all the right people. If you want to be a person of influence and achieve success in business and in life, this podcast is for you. To subscribe to the show, go to thecmethod.com. What's up, everyone? My name is Christina Canters. I'm a communication skills trainer and coach, and also your host. Thank you very much for tuning in today. I'm very excited about this episode because I'm joined by philanthropist, small business branding advisor, and writer, Anthony Chansamuth. That's Anthony with an F. Anthony has trained over 1,000 business leaders across 14 countries. He's appeared on Network 10, in Ant Hill Magazine, and at TEDx Telstra Sydney, and he's a regular writer for the Huffington Post. He's also the marketing lead for Hub Australia, which is how I got to know about him, because Hub is my co-work space. I discovered also that he's passionate about coaching and empowering women specifically, to overcome their fears, fulfill their potential, and do what they love. And as part of this, in late 2015, Anthony did something he had never done before. He ran his very first international retreat in Laos. Now, if you're not familiar with Laos, it's a Southeast Asian country sandwiched between Thailand and Vietnam. And it's where Anthony is originally from. That's where he was born. He now lives in Sydney, Australia. Now, he organized and ran this international retreat, which was a huge step for him. And it almost didn't even happen. He had a few unexpected things happen along the way. His co-founder pulled out 2 weeks before the retreat, and he was forced to find additional facilitators at the last minute. Now, when we had this conversation, he'd just come back from Laos, from the retreat, and he shares the fears that he experienced leading up to the retreat and what he learnt from the whole experience. And I think that this is a really good lesson and a really good demonstration of how fear really affects all of us. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what level you're at. And Anthony's a successful business owner. He's done very well for himself. He's done a lot of things that would scare a lot of people. And yet he still had to deal with his own fears when doing something that was out of the ordinary for him, something that he'd never done before. So it's well worth listening in to get his experiences and his perspective on that. We also talk about communication in relationships and how masculine and feminine energies affect you, whether you're in a committed relationship or if you're single and can't seem to find the right person for you. And I think, well, relationships isn't something I've discussed much on this podcast, and communicating in relationships, and I think it's really, really important. So I was really excited to talk to Anf about that. It is a bit of a longer episode, but believe me, it is worth listening to the whole thing. So that's what we're talking about today on the show. And also, just as a side note, I have an exciting announcement about where you can get free workshop training from me in person, and I'll share that at the end, so stick around. Okay, let's move on to this conversation I had with the wonderful Anthony Chansamuth. Show notes for this episode will be at thecmethod.com/ANF, A-N-F. Oh, and also just a few swear words in this one, just a pre-warning, earmuffs for the kids if they're listening. Enjoy. Putting together a retreat is quite a challenge, I can imagine, even going from idea to actually getting people to sign up and go, right?
Yes.
What inspired you, firstly, to do the retreat? And secondly, what was it like? What were the feelings going through your head when you were marketing it, putting it out there, engaging interest, getting people to sign up?
That's like asking you, what inspired you to jump out of a plane?
We can talk about that too.
Okay. So for me, the inspiration really was a moment of clarity that came from me sitting in a park with a friend of mine who's a powerful coach, and we used to coach each other. So this is going back 18 months from now, before today. And we were sitting in the park, and her name's Caroline, and she said to me, because I was feeling a little agitated. I was freelancing at the time, so I wasn't working for anyone specifically, and really struggling with coaching as a business, right? Because what I'd realized was, and I'd just come back from a trip to the US and Canada, and I just realized there were a couple of things that I learnt along the way. First thing, the entrepreneurial environment and the spirit is very different in the US than it is here in Australia. Granted, I was in a space, so I was in Portland for World Domination Summit. So that's 4 days of like
That's immersion in that.
really driven, really driven people. Like imagine like Hubbers times 100. Like there were like eight, I don't know, 800 people there, and everyone's like, they were just really remarkable people. The speakers all blew me away. But you'd been in line with someone, and this guy just published a book, and he created this thing called the Rejection Gym, where he helps people for 30 days conquer their fears, similar to what you do in some regard. It just blew me away, and just how supportive they were, and just how everyone was like, bring on the challenges. Like we're ready to make this shit
So it's
happen.
this mega injection of just
Yeah.
confidence and I can do this and I got this and you're surrounded by awesome people and you can do anything you like and
And everyone's drinking the Kool-Aid, and everyone's like, yeah, and you come back to Australia and everyone's head down and like not really, I mean, they're loving being in Australia because it's a beautiful place to be, whether you're in Melbourne, Sydney, Adelaide, wherever, but it's just a different feel. And a friend of mine made a remark that who's a successful entrepreneur, made this comment to me, because he's invested into some startups in the Bay Area, sorry, in Silicon Valley, and he said to me, "Anth, like I'm sitting in his co he's just sitting in his co-working space in North Sydney, and he said, I just don't see it. I don't see the drive. I don't see people, because he would work until midnight. On average, he'd be doing pulling 12, 16-hour days." And he'd say, look at it. Like when I look around, people leave 5 o'clock, they go home, they have, or they hit the bar. They're not serious about their businesses or their missions, And that was a comment he made to me. And I said, oh, that's interesting. And then when I went to the US, I thought, oh my gosh, yeah, it's a different ecosystem. Come back to your question though, when Caroline asked me, he said, what do you want to do? Because I was in this really down like place. Emotionally, I was feeling like, what do I want to do with my life? I'm 30, 36, 35 at the time. Okay, what do I want to do? I'm single. I don't, have $1 million property portfolio. I don't have all these things, that I should have, right? And then she asked me, okay, look, forget all that shit. And she just said, very smiley, she said, if you could create something, that would really light you up, that would really spark you, and money wasn't an object, like not an issue, you had all the resources in the world, what would you create? Typical coaching question. And like it just came to me. It's like, okay, well, let's look at the things that I'm really interested in. So travel, I like to travel. Secondly, I loved living in Laos. When I was over there, man, I was on a high. I felt freedom. I was jumping on my motorbike at 7 in the morning. I'm going to this to the school that I was volunteering at. I was there for 8 hours. Then I was teaching night classes. I was teaching English to a bunch of 19-year-olds who were in a business college, right? And I did that for 10 months, and I launched a empowerment program to empower young kids. Whilst I was over there, got a team of 5 volunteers. And that thing blew up, and it went to like 9 schools and 200 kids by the time I had left, and we had a documentary made about it. So these are the sort of things that happen when you're living in passion, right? So I had travel, I had Laos. I love the culture, and I wanted more people to experience that, because whenever you talk to people who travel through Southeast Asia, it's typically Vietnam, Thailand, China, Burma or Myanmar, no one talks about Laos, okay? Because they skip it. It's still not in the public eye as much as all the other places around it. And then the third thing I like is obviously empowerment. So for me, I love coaching. I love helping people build businesses, right? So for me, what we talked about last time was particularly women. So I like working with women. And so if I were to combine all these travel, Laos as a location and as a culture and empowerment, what would that give me? And then the result was Warrior Women Mastermind, right? Which is a retreat which helps women get empowered in Laos. And at the same time, we're empowering young children who live in that country, right? So that's how it came to be. That was the concept. How would we do this? No fucking idea.
But that's how a lot of ideas come about, right?
Yeah.
You find and a way.
Absolutely. And literally, I'm like, it came out of me. I'm looking at Karan going, whoa. He's going, whoa. And I'm going, oh my gosh, fear. Like just a whole lot of, you know, like, how is this possible? You know, when are we going to do it? Because that was her next question, because she's a smart coach. And she said, when are you going to do this? And I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh. And I said, you know, I said November that year, so literally like 6 months away or 8 months away, and said, okay, then who do you need to make that happen, right? That was the next question. I knew inherently that I didn't want to do it alone because that was my struggle as a solo entrepreneur, doing it alone. So I said, okay, I need someone to help me with this, and for whatever reason, I feel it needs to be we need to be a trio and not just one person and not two persons. I wanted it to be three people. Yeah.
So when you felt this, when you say you had this immediate sense of fear that just came up as soon as you had the idea, this fear just jumped up and like slammed you in the face. Can you pinpoint exactly what you were afraid of?
I can now. Just let me take a second here.
Okay.
So the fear for me, first is failure, right? So because I'd never done a retreat. I've done retreat, like I have run retreats in Sydney before. I've not attempted to do something in another country. And the fear for me came from, whoa, how am I going to get people there, right? That was a fear of failure initially. And then once I worked through that, then it was a fear of success. Because along the way, what happened was when more people started to learn about this project, so I ended up having a co-founder. It started with three of us, then it became two of us. And when we were starting to pitch the idea to different people and different groups and whatnot, then there was this excitement that came from the idea. And then there was this, you know, well, hey, why don't you guys do this in Malaysia? You know, why don't you guys do this in Bali? Like, you know, after you do your Lao one. And it became this like, whoa, you know, do we really want it to go that far? Like for me, I just wanted to do the first project, but my co-founder, she wanted it to be this thing, like this, you know, let's turn this into a thing. Mm. and that's where that for me, whoa, like, yeah, this inherent, I don't know where it comes from, but this is like, can we really scale it that big? Because I just don't know.
Mm.
And so that, to answer the question, it's fear of uncertainty. It's not knowing
where it could possibly go.
Where it could possibly go, you know, and whether we could deliver it, right? And so there was a lot of learning, like now that I'm in retrospection and I've gone past it and I was like, hey, we did it. Now I'm looking backward and going, okay, how would I do it again next year? Because definitely some key learnings along the way and mistakes that I made and that I would not want to repeat.
Mm. What was the biggest thing you learned from it?
Is you got to believe, like in yourself. Because I was challenged, especially when Joanna pulled out last minute and I felt this a couple of times, because at one point, I'll track back maybe 8 months ago, where I got just flooded with work at work because I still work full-time at the hub.
Mm.
And then trying to juggle doing monthly, we called them inspiration nights, where we'd just bring groups of women together and we'd present, the retreat as an offer. And we'd have these really empowering speakers there. So even just coordinating that every month, making that work whilst juggling, what I need to do in my role, at Hub, plus, I had entered into a new relationship with somebody. And so therefore she was feeling like I was neglecting her. And, this whole thing was, I'm being pulled in all different directions and then trying to like create or make Warrior Women happen. So my biggest, your question was, what was the biggest lesson to me was really believing that it was possible and that it would all work out. Right. And maybe not in the way that I had envisioned when the idea came to my head.
Yeah.
I remember shedding a tear when I arrived in the airport in Luang Prabang in Laos and going, oh my gosh, I'm here.
It's happening.
I've got goosebumps to retelling this to you because it's like, and I remember sharing that on Instagram going, oh my gosh, this, you cannot imagine the amount of pain and heartache and elation and everything else that went through this journey just to get here. And I remember sharing the story because my girlfriend came along. She basically ended up replacing Joanna as my assistant.
Right.
She didn't do the yoga. I found someone else to do the yoga. But just telling her the story, because we both arrived the day before all the other warriors came along. I said to her, let me just tell you what happened for me to get here. Like for us to be sitting here, let me tell you that journey because no one, I've not shared this with anyone. Like this is, you, Christina, the second person I've ever told this story to.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, and she and her reflecting back to me, that's amazing. Like you went through all of that and didn't have a heart attack and still kept on going and found the way to make it work.
So a lot of people would have just said, nah, stuff it, where it's cancelled, can't deal with this. But I guess you'd invested so much already, leading up to that and having the women that had signed up to go, you wouldn't have wanted to let them down, I suppose.
Absolutely. So this is – I'm glad you said that because one – key decision that I made early on with Joanna, the co-founder, was that even if it was just me and her showing up to the retreat, we're still going. And that's the thing, you have to do something that lights you up because you're going to do it regardless. And for me, it's it's been almost 4 years since I last went to Laos, right? I've been just craving to return. I wanted to reconnect with my family. I wanted to reconnect to the culture, just the amazing, the nature there is just incredible.
Mm.
And I've been waiting, 4 years to get back there. And so, I wanted to show it to Joanna anyway. And I said, whether we get participants or not, we're going, but then as you rightly said, I had people invested in it. So there were people who had signed up. There was the resort over there who, once they knew what the project was, they supported it straight away because they loved the concept. And they loved that we were bringing, the concept to their resort center. And so they, put it up on the website and they started helping to try and promote it. And then there was the other partner that was involved, which was Inspired Travel, right? And that came through a serendipitous meeting with someone, a Hubba, who was basically mentoring that particular organization. And she said, as soon as she heard what I was creating, she said, look, I'm going to set up a meeting with you and the founder or someone within Inspired Travel because I feel like you guys would be really good partners. Because I was looking for a travel company to manage the travel side of the trip, right? And things are going right when you sit down with someone who's a potential partner or a collaborator and within 20 minutes, you're like, yep, this is happening. and there's not a lot of, legal things that come up and let's check all off these, 20,000 things. It was pretty much, articulating, this is what I want to create. This is what you guys do. And I feel there's an alignment. Why don't we give this a go? Right. And then that's what it was. So that was, a validation or an affirmation that, I was on the right path.
with a lot of women, Anthony, who want to make career changes, but fear is holding them back. Is that correct? And they have correct. This sort of lack of confidence. I know teaching confidence and, well, not so much teaching confidence, but showing people how they can grow confidence is a big thing that you do. Do you think that lack of confidence affects women more than men in general?
Oh, good question. I feel that it affects, I don't know if it's more than, I don't know if that's the verbiage I'd use. Mm. I feel that it impacts women in a different way. And I think, you know, this is, we're going to enter into a conversation here between, you know, energies and masculine versus feminine. And for me, what I've observed is society, or at least some of the boundaries that have been set through, you know, whether you're growing up in a Western society or an Eastern society. Like I mentioned earlier, I spent some time in Laos. And culturally, there are certain behaviors that women, if they were to exhibit, you know, it's almost like it's okay for a man to do that, but for a woman, it's not. And this impacts leadership and this concept of confidence, because what happens is, at least in my experience in working with these women, and a lot of them are powerful. Like I would say, every single person is powerful in different way. But the, you know, an example I have is one of the warriors that came along to my retreat is a general manager for, you know, a legal firm. So she is responsible for a staff of a team of maybe 10 or 20 people. She has, outside of work, she's got her son. So she's got a family responsibilities. She's got, you know, she's in a strong leadership position. There's so much expectation on that. And it's also that comes with it, unfortunately, is just preconceived notions. Like if you're a woman who is going for what you want, right? Mm. Then, you know, you're labeled a bitch, or you can't be too aggressive because that's not nice, and you should be more feminine, and for whatever the reason, whatever that means, you know, you should be more demure and not speak out of line, and you shouldn't challenge, you know, in certain, you shouldn't argue and debate and whatever else. So, and that can manifest in different ways. So to answer your question, I feel in my experience, people, the genders, when you come to genders, they deal with self-confidence and expectations differently, and the expectations placed upon them are different. Mm. Right. And I remember reading a book a number of years ago, which looked at, there was some scientific research done on biologically how different the female or boys and girls and their brains were, right? And how, you know, girls naturally were, in the early years of school, would learn to read faster than their male counterparts, right? And then there's a point where it's sort of they both catch up, and then at the same stage. But then what happens later on, as they grow, the boys started to perform better in certain things, and then girls perform better in other things. And then the stereotypes start to happen, because then it's like, well, you know, girls are better at this and guys are better than that. And then just, I'm sure you've heard of the hunter-gatherer, you know, versus the nurturer, yeah. Right? So, but what we're seeing is, no, hey, wait a minute. Men can equally be nurturers, and women can easily be hunter-gatherer too, right? So, and that's sort of the transition I remember us talking last time about, is with the way that society has moved and continues to move, right? These traditional concepts of masculine versus feminine, man versus woman, it's getting all confused and muddled. And now this is having an effect on relationships, right? Inside the workplace and outside the workplace in terms of personal relationships. So,
yeah, because I remember when we spoke about this the last time we had a chat about, like, when in business, and especially for a woman starting up her own thing, like something like what I've done, is that you feel like you have to project this image of, you know, of success and strength and confidence and, yeah, like I'm the boss, I can do this stuff, I'm going for world domination. But that's very much a masculine energy to project out there. And oftentimes that's not a fully sort of natural and authentic thing for a woman to do. And I've learned that it's actually okay to bring that feminine energy into your work, into, you know, your day-to-day life and into relationships and all that. Because if a woman becomes too masculine in her approach and in the way that she acts and behaves, then that is going to become imbalanced with the masculine energies in her life, like so that the men in her life, because she's becoming a bit too much like them. Is that right?
Absolutely. So there was a blog post or an article written by a guy called Evan Markatz, and he Evan Markatz and whatever, but he wrote a blog post titled "Why Don't Men Like Smart, Strong, Successful Women?" And this is something that I sent to all my warriors, because a lot of, as you can imagine, a lot of the conversation at the retreat was around personal relationship and dating, and you know, and one person had, or a couple of the warriors had been through divorces. Others were still single and looking, or successful in their own rights, in their careers and businesses. But one big thing that came up time and time and again was, how do I find this guy? How do I find this guy that's going to support me to be who I want to be, and to support me in my vision? And something that came up in terms of, to answer your question around women and confidence. So what came out of this, what I learned was that there was fear and there was subconscious, call it sabotage or a voice in the head, you know, that came up for every single person, you know, every single woman that was there was, you know, am I good enough for this? And is it right for me to ask for what I really want? There was a shame and a guilt around that, right? It's almost like
going for what you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like even just to voice it out loud, right? There was this tremendous feeling of, you know, one example I can give is someone saying, I have this vision, I have this business that I'm running, and then I've just entered this relationship with this guy who's really, you know, it's working out and he's really great and all this. But my fear is that I have to choose one over the other, right? And that's, you know, and in her mind, she had tremendous difficulty resolving, or at least arriving at a point where she could feel that, you know, he could be supportive of what she was doing career-wise, you know, and at the same time, you know, if she wasn't behaving a certain way with him and his expectations, then he might just leave.
So she didn't think she could have both.
Yeah. The way I drew it up visually for her was, this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing on one side of you know, or in one circle, you've got love and relationship and partnership. And then on the other side, you've got purpose. Because for her, what she does is help connect people to it. Like she has a dating service, right? And so for her, it's about helping other people find love. And what she was seeing was that she felt that it wasn't possible to have both. She had to kill one of them. and you know, and I was saying, well, where's that coming from? Because if you go deeper beyond what's being expressed, right, there's some belief somewhere that no guy in his right mind would want a woman who's ambitious, and maybe more ambitious than he is. Okay, so that was interesting to observe.
I actually had a similar conversation with a male friend of mine ages ago, and he said to me, Christina, a lot of guys just want a woman who's going to support them and follow them around and do whatever they want to do. And I was like, well, yeah, great, but I'm not going to change the way that I am just so that I can support some guy and follow him around. And I was like, there's got to be people, men out there that do like strong women with, you know, with visions and doing their own thing and all that. And I truly believe that there are people out there that are like that. And I think it's just a matter of being true to yourself and making sure that you keep that feminine energy so that you know, so that it's not too like overbearing, right, for dudes. Because I can imagine that can be a bit of a turnoff for dudes if if you're like way too, if you're way too demanding, right? Like, I think being vulnerable is a good thing.
I think for both parties, being vulnerable is an amazing thing. Mm. And that's actually the mark of a strong foundation for a powerful relationship, right? Coming back to the masculine feminine polarities and whatever else in that post that I was talking about, I mentioned earlier, one of the key points he makes in that one is the smart, intelligent woman is almost like for a guy. So the woman is thinking, you know, why don't men like smart, intelligent women? And then the guy, on the other hand, is thinking, why don't women like nice guys? And you've heard this one before, right? It's like, oh, fuck, I'm a nice guy, so no woman would ever date me, right? Or get into bed with me, whatever it is, whatever the agenda is. And I like the way he describes it because he's saying, you know, well, if you're a smart, intelligent woman and an outspoken one, right? And so if you're in a power position and you're someone who's strong and bold and you're going for what you want and you're not scared of articulating that, and like you said, Christina, you know, that can put some guys off because for them, right, there's ego involved. There's, you know, hey, I'm the man. Wait a minute. If you're the man, how can I be the man? You know, and this is not a conscious thing. Let's make this clear. It's not like we sit here and go, oh, I'm going to think about this. It's an unconscious, unspoken, societal imposed belief system and a value system, right? And one of the conversations we had at the retreat was one woman who's saying, declared herself that she's an independent woman. She's always been, you know, headstrong. She's been great at her career. She's building a business right now and all these traits. And then when I asked her, well, what is it you actually want in a guy? Right. Mm-hmm. So what do you want for a partner? And she said, I want someone who's strong, who's a go-getter, who's going to take care of me. Right. And I said, well, here's your problem, just based on reflection. And I said, if you're the strong, independent woman who doesn't need a guy, how can you find a guy that wants to give to you because you won't receive it? Mm. Are you prepared to drop the strong, independent woman thing so enough that he can actually give to you and that you will receive with grace? Because right now, the way she spoke about it, it's like, no, I'm strong. I don't need, you know, I don't need the support of anyone else, right? Apart from my other women, because they're my sisters and that's cool. And so, and that's what I sort of challenged her on. I said, like, you can't be both. You know, you can't expect to have the giver give to someone who can't receive. And so play with that for a moment and really, you know, think about that because that's what's going on. Right. If I'm and this is on a flip side, on the inverse here, as a man who spends a lot of time in my feminine, right? Mm-hmm. So that's because that's how I connect to women. And that's an inherent, I've come to accept that's inherently who I am, right? You know, I'm not the guy who's going to go out and do martial arts. And I did that 20 years ago, but now I'm not going to go out there and start fights in the pub, right? It's not me. So I've had to come to realize and go, well, you know, I've had to step up in my relationship in terms of being the man because, and I remember asking my partner about this because she said, you know, that first date, she hated the first date, right? Because I wanted to see if she was willing enough to stick around for someone who wasn't like, who didn't meet all the traditional rightly or wrongly expectations around, you know, oh, he's got to pay for the dinner. He's got to do certain things. Cause you know, I dated long enough, you know, to understand these were certain expectations. And I actually did a survey with a group of men and women around what are the top three or top five things that really bug people on first dates. And what would make someone not go on a second date, right? So, you know, I deliberately took her to this place. I did, because I...
Did you make her pay?
I didn't make her pay.
Okay? Did you go Dutch?
Was it Dutch? No, I paid for it, but I deliberately did not go to an expensive restaurant.
Right.
Right?
That's okay.
Like, I deliberately did not go, hey, let's go meet at, you know, I don't know, some seafood place or whatever. Yeah. Because the thing was, before that, I actually went on a couple of dates where I did do that. Or even I offered, I even paid for the other person. And I just had this really bad experience where she just walked away, didn't even thank me for the dinner, and was kind of like not even there to really engage.
Mm.
Right. And I just felt, well, what the hell was that about? Because I thought it was a date. I mean, it was clearly specified that this was, when I called her up, I said, hey, I would like to go on a date with you.
You know, can I just say that that's really rare? Not many guys actually do that.
And what are your thoughts on that? Is that a bad thing? Is that a good thing? What is that?
What? I think it's, I think if a guy can call, has the balls to call up a girl and say, I really like you, can I take you out for dinner or can I take you out for a drink? That is ballsy and that is impressive, because not enough guys do it because they're just scared of being rejected or whatever.
Yeah.
So good on you for doing that, because it's not many, in my experience anyway, it's not something that people do, especially when you've got like Tinder and OkCupid and everything. Like that takes away that whole side of it. But that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to hear how this date went. Continue.
Okay, so yeah, so first date, I basically we walk into this food court, right? So
did you take her to the Maccas?
It wasn't a Maccas, but it was close enough. It's this food court, and I said to her, well, what do you want to eat? And she, and I didn't know until later, like months later, you know, why she did this, but she basically said, you know, no, why don't you, I'm okay with whatever you choose, right? And so we ended up in this, I think it was in a, they made like pastas and different things, and they were closing up. And so they had a 2-for-1 deal.
Yeah.
It's like $5 for 2 salads or pasta or whatever. I'm like, hey, how about this? and she was okay with it. We walked away and we ate that sitting by the harbor, and it was really nice and all that. But fast forward, you know, like 8 months later, and she's telling our friends this, and she's saying that was the worst date ever. Like, it was just in her eyes, that was just like, that's terrible. And I said, well, you know, why? She said, because she said for her, she was looking for, what she wanted was direction and and someone who's going to lead. Right. And that means making the choices, you know, and if you can't choose what the fuck we're eating, how are you going to choose where we live? How are you going to choose, you know, what we do if we have children and how
Absolutely.
We, right. All these things. And that was a really good insight. And like, for me, it was like, huh, okay. You know, now let me tell you my side of the story, because for me, like I had done my research and I had, you know, expected that was the case. Right. For me, what I was looking for was, are you going to accept me for me, or are you going to accept me for all the things you expect me to be?
Right.
Right. And so that's why, you know, I could have paid for a $100 dinner and then done a swish place and all that, but I deliberately chose not to do that because I wanted to know, well, how does she deal? Like, how would she? And it's stupid because we're both playing games, but it all obviously works because we're 10 months and we're still in it together. But
you took her to Rock Pool for the second day, didn't you? You made up for it.
And it was kind of like, I was straight out. Like I said, if you're looking for, you know, a wealthy guy who's got all the you know, trappings of success and all these kind of things, I'm not that guy. But if you're looking for someone who's willing to work through our shit, because we both have stuff coming into this, who's in it for the long game, you know, and who's done a heck of a lot of work on personal development and knows what he wants, then we can proceed, you know, and that's what I'm looking for from you. And we had this really intense conversations, and by the fourth date, we knew that this is, you know, let's go, let's do it. And it's been up and down like any relationship, but one of the greatest things about the relationship, and I shared this with the group in Laos, was that we are both committed and we've made an agreement to, no matter what, work through whatever it is together, right? And be on the same team. And I think that's where a lot of relationships fail, is when you get into the me versus you, and it's your shit and it's my shit and stuff like that. And it's
and
more
tit for tat thing.
Yeah, you know,
do this, so I'm not going
to
do that.
Exactly, you know, and working through how to best communicate. Our biggest challenge has been communication, and just, you know, expressing, you know, and not like trying to anticipate someone or trying to making assumptions. Right, based on your own past, because it's like I've had, and I told her this very early on. I said, I've had my heart broken 3 times. You know, I felt in each in each instance that there was a possibility it could have gone further. You know, she had similar experiences in her life, and we're at this age now, we're both hitting, you know, 40, where it's like, no, if this is not a serious thing and we're not committed to working through it and understanding that it's gonna be work, and that's the thing, there's no illusions, there's no like, oh, we're gonna be floating in cloud nine for the next 50 years, that's BS. You know, and it's one of the toughest relationships I've been in, and at the same time one of the most rewarding, right? So take what you will from that. It's just a bit of sharing in terms of
Wow. Well, I appreciate that. I didn't intend on this conversation turning into chatting about your relationship, but really great insights there, and I appreciate you sharing that. And I think it's something that anyone, whether single or in a relationship, you know, can take on board. And you're right that communication is so important. And I think being upfront about it from the very beginning, and it just helps us set that up really nicely from the very start, so that you're not sort of struggling later on and going, how come you never told me this? How come you never shared that with me? I had no idea that that's how you thought or felt.
So let's take it back to the question. So the question was around women and confidence, right? So for me, right, because it all relates, because what I found in my practice and working with women who come to me at a stage where they were either transitioning from they're wanting to leave the job, pursue a business full time, or they were wanting to, you know, maybe climb the ladder within their own organization, or maybe they're looking to switch companies and stay in the same industry, because it's not all about everyone wanting to quit their jobs and start a business. But it's more about actually having the self-confidence to ask for what they actually wanted. And that extends to relationships. So for what I've observed and what I've sort of come to understand is, for anyone who's in that space of, you know, I'm feeling a lack of confidence around something, you got to start with, what is it you actually want? And you need to discern, is it what I want, or is it what my family want? Is it what, you know, my community wants? And then come down to, no, this is what I want. This is what Anne wants. This is what Christina wants. It's what, you know, whatever, whoever it is, right? And then only when you have that can you articulate what your boundaries are, right? Because if you don't know what you want, how do you know what you don't like? One way to do it is actually to do the inverse and go, this is what I don't like.
Yeah.
And that was my process. I went through a number of years of that, just testing things and going, that sucks. I don't like it. I don't like this piece of chocolate. I don't like whatever. You know, I don't like this type of women or this type of men, whatever. And that's a good way to identify those things.
Creating those constraints.
Yeah.
I was having a chat with one of my business mentors earlier today, and he said, write down what you can do, what you will do, and what you won't do. Like in terms of, I mean, he was talking in terms of business, but I think that can apply to other areas of your life as well. Like, so that you have those clear constraints as to what, you know, what are the things that you will actually do and what will you say no to? And then that helps to give you an idea of, it helps you make those decisions anyway, make those choices.
And that ties into what I was going to say next is, once you have those constraints and understand them, right, then it becomes a process of saying no to people. And no to projects and no to things that come up in your way, right? And they come up and they go, oh, this looks exciting. And one of the biggest challenges, I'm sure you understand from being an entrepreneur, is, you know, the shiny object syndrome, where it's like, oh my gosh, you know, there's definitely so many cool things that I could do, or so many cool guys that I could date, or whatever it may be. And it just, your energy just goes everywhere. But once you have very clearly defined, this is what I want to be doing with my life, this is who I want my partner to be. If that's what you want, you might determine that you don't want a partner at all, and that's cool, right? But it's just getting to that point of you understanding what is it that you really want. And coming back to women and confidence, you know, and I'm only speaking from my coaching experience and people I work with, and all the literature I've read, it's really connecting to your heart. And this is how we started this conversation, right? What inspires you? And then going from there, going to, are you willing to say no to people, things, and anything else that may appear, so that you can say yes to yourself?
I love that. And being a little bit selfish like that.
Yeah.
And doing things for you.
And that's it. And let's reframe what selfish means, because, you know, a lot of people go, well, but it's selfish. And I'm like, well, hey, wait a minute, right? I don't care how religious you are. I don't care how you know, spiritually enlightened you are or whatever it is. At the end of the day, you're serving yourself. Because if you don't serve yourself first and take care of you or me, then what happens is how can you, you know, serve someone else? And this is examples used many times, but it's like when you get on the plane and they give you the safety announcement and they go, if you're an adult and you have a child, you got to put the oxygen mask on yourself first and then take care of your child, right? Because if you don't do that, then both die. Okay, so, and that's an extreme example, but that's a really good one I like to use because it's like, you got to take care of yourself. And take it from someone who grew up with an auntie and a mother who was super generous, always giving, because that's the Buddhist way, right? And the Lao way. But I've seen both burn out tremendously, right? And I find it's beautiful to have that trait because it's they act from a place of service. And at the same time, what I've learned is if you continually give but don't replenish, then that limits your capacity to give more.
Before we wrap up, Anthony, I appreciate you joining me on the show. You've been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your insights, especially the story about your retreat. I hope you don't mind me sharing that with my audience now.
No, I didn't know we had already started, but that's cool. So you know, hey, it's out there. It's going to be in a book somewhere, or a Christina blog post. Who knows? But look, I want to share that story because it like I said, it was for me a massive part of the last 18 months. For me, it's now informed my decisions and my thinking for next year and beyond. So I'm actually in the middle of a rebrand and clarity around what I want to be doing. You know, you heard it here first moment. I'm really I'm shifting away from this concept of career transition,
right,
and more into the personal story, the personal message, the personal brand, because my skill set is all, it's marketing, it's what I do for my company, it's what I do for my clients. But it's really getting down to, someone said it, one of my really intuitive friends said it this way. She said, what I do, and this is her observation, is that I create spaces for uplifting voices to be heard.
That's awesome.
Right.
And creating spaces. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I do retreats. It's why I do workshops. It's why I, you know, I'll be doing I do blog posts. I'll write and whatever. They're just all different delivery methods. But it really is all about helping individuals work out what their message is and then putting that out to the world and not being afraid to do it. And that's where the confidence part comes in.
Yep. Yep. I love it. And for everyone listening, you should definitely check out Anthony's blog because he's got a lot of great articles on there that will help you to overcome your fear and build your confidence. And he does have, you do have a lot of the career transition yes. articles on there as well, which is really helpful for anyone who's looking to get out of their career or like start a business or change careers, but maybe feeling a bit unsure about it.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that you have a book coming out.
Yes. So
tell me about that.
Yeah, I'm currently writing a book called Dare to Escape. And it's a career transition guide for the driven woman. And it's basically, yeah, it's just the process. So a lot of what we talked about today, the process to help someone identify and get clear on what it is that they want to be doing in the world. And then practical steps on how do you transition to whether it's a new, you know, a new industry, a new occupation or a new business. How do you do that? Right. So some insights around the things you need to be aware of before you even start and save yourself 10 years of pain that I went through doing it my own way. And I've interviewed experts, HR experts. I've interviewed women who've been there and done it and my own clients. And so a lot of it is sharing their case studies and how, you know, so I want it to be inspiring. I want it to be practical at the same time. So
excellent. When's it coming out?
Looking at an April release date. I need to get it through a couple of editors before then.
Excellent. I look forward to reading it.
Absolutely. I might have you do an interview of you for the book. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Talk to you about how I spent 10 years in the architecture industry and.
and then you ended up jumping,
and
out,
of, ended up jumping out of a
plane. Busting on the street. So there you go.
Busting on the street. Absolutely. Yeah, well, thanks so much again, Anthony. Where can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more about you and what you do?
Best place to go right now is going to be my website, which is Anthony, and that's Anthony spelled with an F, anthonyc.com. And that's the best place to go. And that will link you to the various projects like Warrior Women Mastermind, my upcoming marketing branding business, and whatever else that I'm working on.
Love it. Thanks so much, Amph.
Thanks a lot, Christina. A lot of fun.
Big thanks to Anthony Chansamuth for being my guest this week. I will pop links to his site and how you can get in touch with him at thecmethod.com/anf, A-N-F. Okay, remember I mentioned at the start of the show that I had a special announcement? Well, here it is. If you're in Melbourne, I will be running a free workshop on how to create your personal elevator pitch. Yes, you know how I bang on about signing up for my 21-day confidence building course? Well, this is like an in-person condensed version of that, where you'll learn how to give a quick and clear introduction for yourself or your business so that you sound awesome, how to say it with confidence so they believe you, and how to get a great conversation started so they'll like you. How's that for winning? And, oh, and the workshop is free, which is a bonus. So it's happening on Tuesday, the 2nd of February at 12:30 p.m. It'll go for an hour. That's Tuesday, the 2nd of February at 12:30 p.m. And that's just under 3 weeks from now. And it's happening at Hub Melbourne, which is on Bourke Street in the CBD, in the city. So if you'd like to come along, I would love to see you. It would be great to meet you. And also, I'd love to be able to help you get your elevator pitch sorted. And you'll get plenty of time to practice that pitch as well in the session. So it should be a good time. And don't forget to bring your lunch. We're calling it a lunch and learn. Anyway, that's in the details. It's on Eventbrite, but to make it easier for you, I'll just put a link to that in the show notes as well. So all you have to do is go to thecmethod.com/ANF, A-N-F, and you'll be able to follow the link there and sign up. Again, it's free, should be a lot of fun. I'd love to see you there. Okay, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with me today, and I look forward to seeing you next week. My name's Christina Canters, and this has been Stand Out, Get Noticed. Seeing as we're talking about strong, independent, confident women, I thought I would play a song by a strong, confident, independent woman who is Lady Gaga, and this is Born This Way.
My mama told me when I was young, we are all superstars. She rolled my hair and put my lipstick on in the glass of her boudoir. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, 'cause he made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far. Listen to me when I say I'm beautiful in my way, 'cause God makes no mistakes. I'm on the right track, baby, I was born.
Rocket girl.